Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Tuesday morning at a very entertaining Monday night football game last night where Aaron Rodgers was doing things at the cornerback position that only few can do. Some not great news with the Jets as far as injuries go as they get ready for a big home game against the Minnesota Vikings. And Boomer, there's a GM search in this town that I want to get into this morning that's sort of been on the back burner with all the other big stories that we've had, but it's starting to move to the front burner, and it's a big decision for an organization we care about. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing all right, and I'll tell you, before we get to that part of it, the game last night was another great, entertaining game.
I know. And good for C.J. Beathard, by the way. I know he threw a pick down the field at the end that led to the comeback, but you can't tell me that he wasn't playing his ass off last night. He was good. Couple of touchdown passes to Goodwin down the field, playing fearless.
Yeah.
And it just shows you, too, that Kyle Shanahan, regardless of personnel, is going to make some stuff happen with that offense. I think he's one of the great offensive minds in football. What an entertaining game. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is just too damn good.
Well, you know, the other thing I point out again is now that the Giants are going to end up playing three of these defenses here over the next 4 weeks that have been just given up tons of yardage, and the 49ers being one of them, the Buccaneers being the other, who fired their defensive coordinator, Mike Smith, yesterday. So he is the first coach to get axed this year in the middle of the season. And then, of course, they have the Atlanta Falcons next Monday night. I mean, all three of these defenses are the worst defenses
so
in football.
Bad. I mean, so bad.
So the point being is that, you know, there's life. There's life, you know, and I know it's dark. I know it's 1-5, and I know they have not played well. I know Eli has not played well. He's skittish and all this other stuff. I hear it. But, you know, if again, much like the message that Pat Shurmur should have been giving his team prior to the Eagle game, that our season is not over, no matter what they say, no matter what the idiots on WFAN say, no matter what the idiots on ESPN say, no matter what the people in the Post or the Daily News write, no matter what they write on NJ.com, no matter what they write on WFAN.com with Schmelk and Schmiedel and Schmeichel and all these other people over here, don't worry about it. We still are in this thing. It's hard. I know it's hard to wrap your head around it. And I guess, you know, in the middle of the week, the athlete in me comes out, though, like the guy that actually still thinks that you got a chance. But honestly, look at who they are playing, right? And I know that the other team's offenses, in the case of those three teams, all are putting up huge numbers as well. I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers probably have an offense that is a top five offense because it seems like every game they go out and put out 500 yards, but they end up losing.
All right, well, they have to put up 500 yards and 500
right.
points to be able to compete.
And you saw last night, C.J. Beathard and Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers are putting up numbers and, you know, big plays down the field, shot plays down the field. And then, you know, you're running into Matt Ryan, who is actually playing better than the year he won the MVP in the NFL 2 years ago. His numbers are better. He's putting up, you know, he's putting up huge numbers in these games that he's losing. So the defense for the Giants will have their hands full, certainly, but the offense now should be able to put up. I mean, you know, if Odell Beckham Jr. has less than 40 catches in four weeks, then I don't know what they're doing.
Well, you know what's going to happen is this offense is going to start playing better because they're going against these terrible defenses and all the shifting towards people coming to our side of the Eli argument. I mean, look at the paper this morning in the New York Post. You've got a couple of articles. Giants should deal for Brissett. Wrong direction Eli Manning going into. Rich Gannon, Eli should look into retiring. Everybody's talking about the end of Eli Manning, and what you're going to see is him play better because he's going against these bad defenses, and then the organization is going to start going in the wrong direction again and saying, look, told you, We were right about this. He could still play, which is probably going to work detrimentally against what they're trying to do in the future.
All right, so there will be a quarterback that will be at the top of the draft, and his name's Justin Herbert from the University of Oregon. He's 6'6", 245 pounds, and he's a guy that everybody is comparing to Carson Wentz in college. Not now, but when he was back in college, this is what he looks like. And he's athletic. He's got a big arm. He's making highlight throws. He's not on a great team. He's had three coaches in 3 years. Not his fault. There's been some funky stuff going on out there. But he's stood tall above it all. And all the numbers are telling you that he is going to be most likely the first pick overall. And then you say to yourself, okay, which team would want this guy up there at the top of the draft? So obviously there are a bunch of teams that took their quarterback of the future. You don't have to worry about those teams. But the teams you do have to worry about, the Oakland Raiders, what are they going to do? Would the Indianapolis Colts, I doubt they would do this, but if the Indianapolis Colts go on, they continue to play the way they're playing, would they do with Andrew Luck what they did with Peyton Manning when Andrew Luck was available in the draft? And is this guy the consensus number one great player? Because what everybody is trying to do is they're trying to do what, the 49ers did and what the Seattle Seahawks did, get that young quarterback, get him on his first contract, support him and spend the money around him like the Jets will do next year in free agency, and then to have that guy take you to the next level.
Right. It's just the opposite of what's going on with the Packers right now, because they won their Super Bowl before Aaron Rodgers got the money. Now he's got, and he deserves every penny. I'm not saying he doesn't, but he's getting 30% or more of the Packers cap. And what do you see? You see Marquez Valdez-Scantling catching passes for him last night. Two running backs. I know, I get it. Cobb and Geronimo Allison are out. But it furthers the point. They've got two running backs. They had a wide receiver converted to a running back most of last year in Ty Montgomery. They don't have anybody there. And their defense is giving up a crap ton of points to C.J. Beathard and the 49ers.
But why do people fill Lambeau Field?
Oh, because Aaron Rodgers,
yeah,
of course.
You want to go see Aaron Rodgers
I'd love
football.
To have
That's why,
just,
yes.
Just roster construction-wise, they were able to have, even with putting something like 20 guys on IR that year that they won the Super Bowl, they still had a better roster around Aaron Rodgers, whereas now it's just harder to build, and they can't overcome the injuries.
And if you're going to pay your quarterback top-tier money, he's got to give you a top-tier performance.
He
just
does every week. And he looked healthier last night than he has in weeks.
He did, so... I still go back to the point that this kid out of Oregon looks like he's going to be the consensus number one. So would the Raiders take him? Would they trade Derek Carr? And who would want Derek Carr? Would the Buccaneers take him if they continue to lose and get rid of Jameis Winston?
It's an interesting one, yeah.
I mean, so there are a number of teams out there that will be in line trying to get their hands on this kid, and the Giants being one of those teams. There's no question. They're already out there scouting him and everything else. And it seems like, I'm getting the feeling that he is going to be the number one guy. There'll be some other guys in this draft that will rise and fall, and we'll get into the discussion about all those things. But the Giants may ruin that simply because over the next 3 to 4 weeks, they may get a few more wins because of these defenses they're playing.
Yeah, but at the same time, I've seen the Giants in a game just like I expect them to play against the Falcons, the Buccaneers, the 49ers, and they lost it against the Carolina Panthers. They were down in the game. Saquon Barkley was doing great things. Eli was getting the ball down the field. They were running trick plays, and they still lost that game. So, I mean, even if the offense plays better, I saw Saquon Barkley do amazing things, like Barry Sanders-like things against the Philadelphia Eagles, and they got their butts whipped in that game. So, to me, yeah, they might play better on offense, but can this team win? Do they know how to win? Is that locker room fractured when too much that when adversity hits them, they can overcome it? I don't know. The Giants right now with a head coach who, by the way, right now has been dealing with a lot of stuff, and I don't know if he's got this team on the same page. So, yeah, I expect the offense to play better. It doesn't mean they're going to win. They got to go on the road too this week. They got to play down in Atlanta on Monday night. The fan base probably there is ticked off as a team that could have won the NFC, but I expect it to still be loud and difficult to play. And you got Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Mohamed Sanu, Tevin Coleman, Ito Smith, there's guys, Austin Hooper, there's guys all over the place. Good luck.
Yeah, no, they do, and they actually do score points. So the New York Giants offense is going to have to match them toe-to-toe. And, it's like one of those games that if Eli's on and they're playing well, the team with the ball last is going to win, much like last night, much like with Pittsburgh, much like with New England. this past weekend, these quarterbacks that are making those money, that money, and are the face of their franchises, all came through at the end of these games.
Yeah,
think about that.
Right.
Think about what Tom Brady did on Sunday night. Look at what Aaron Rodgers did last night. Look what Ben Roethlisberger did on Sunday.
Right. I have Phillip Rivers even on the road, even though it was a big Melvin Gordon game. But
they ran for 250 yards. I'm talking about the quarterback that has the ball last and takes his team down and scores either a touchdown or puts them in field goal range to kick the field goal. Good for Mason Crosby, who did have four field goals last night.
And a game-winning one.
And he had a bounce-back game in front of his home fans, and everybody was supportive. So I'm just telling you that it's going to be those games, those three games in particular, because I think when they play the Redskins, that game's going to be tighter because I think the Redskins have a much better defense, and Alex Smith is not going to put up enormous numbers with that Redskin offense. So that game should be tighter. But those other three games should be – what they say, balls to the wall. Let's
it should
go.
Be, right.
And it's got to be fast break offense, and it's got to be let's go down the field.
Well, I know
and
that
by
those
the way,
offenses
Saquon,
will show.
Saquon Barkley may run for 1,000 yards in 3 weeks.
If you've seen the numbers that the Atlanta defense gives up to running backs, I mean, it is
frightening.
And good ones, by the way, too. Look what James Conner did to them. I mean, you just go around and just take a look at those numbers. They are the worst team against running backs in the NFL, hands down, especially to catching balls out of the backfield. So the Atlanta Falcons are primed for Saquon Barkley to have a huge game. You'd expect the Giants' offense to have some of the best stretch of the year. You should, but that's
well, yes.
But here's the problem though: is if they don't, then what? Right? If they don't, what are we going to be saying if they can't put up points against the Atlanta Falcons? Everybody does. Nobody doesn't. If they don't put up points against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, everybody crushes the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I'm expecting to see the Giants really figure it out, and they do have a longer week Thursday night to Monday night. So all that look at the tape, clean up the stuff, they better come out and put up about 38 in that game against the Falcons.
Well, they're going to have to. So you watch this game unfold last night, and you see that C.J. Beathard and the 49ers are just going right down the field on this Green Bay Packer defense.
Right.
It's like, God, they suck.
I know.
And it's like amazing how wide open guys are, and you have a backup quarterback in replace of Jimmy Garoppolo moving this ball down the field, and you're like, oh my God. There are really some horrendous defenses in the NFL. I mean, there's got to be 20 defenses that surrender almost 400 yards a game.
Is it a lot of it the rules, though, or are we just talking about
–
I mean, there's a combination.
And also last night what you saw is you saw a second-chance penalty happen against Richard Sherman. He had an illegal contact penalty late in the game.
Right.
The 49ers, Buckner, actually sacks Aaron Rodgers. He's thinking, okay, the game's over. They got it. Nope. Here comes a flag. It seems like – the last 5 minutes of every game, what are we as fans all sitting on and waiting?
We're waiting for a flag, yeah.
Yeah.
Waiting to see a flag, whether it's a roughing the passer or a pass interference or
defensive holding, whatever.
Illegal
something. Contact.
Anything that's going to give you an automatic first down.
And
any
a
one of those.
Chance. The right. Second chance penalties, yes. Right. And the Packers had one of those last night, so that is part of what happened last night.
Yeah, it was. And the two throws that Aaron Rodgers made on that final drive where he needed to get out of bounds, but he didn't have any timeouts. Was just incredible. I mean, back shoulder throws were only the receiver.
Make the catches too. Now.
Right. Well, yeah, but still, he put it right there, and guys got right out of bounds. I mean, it was amazing with no timeouts. Those throws when everybody knows that you're going to the sidelines. Quickly on the Jets, not good news. Marcus May going to be out. Quincy Enunwa is going to be out with a high ankle sprain for several weeks. If this Enunwa news happened a few weeks ago, I would have thought it would have been a bigger deal for Sam Darnold, because there's no way that you could look at that Jets offense and not say that Enunwa was a security blanket for Sam Darnold. He was always looking towards Enunwa. And then they changed when Kearse came back. Kearse went into the slot, and then Kearse got a lot of those more looks than those same looks that Enunwa was getting. So he spreads the ball around. You see him going to Sterling. You see him going to Herndon. He's going all around the field
now,
Sam Darnold.
He's doing exactly what Jeremy Bates is asking him to
right.
do.
So
he's going through his progressions, and he's throwing the ball a lot of times to open guys that are open. I mean, and that's what he should be doing. And the other thing I saw, I went back and watched some of the tape from the game the other day, and the thing that's really impressive is kind of like his awareness. Like, he knows when it's like third and four, third and five, and he'll be looking down the field and he'll relax, just calm down. And I know this doesn't seem like a big deal, but it is for a rookie quarterback. He'll look downfield, and then he'll drop it off for an easy first down.
Yeah.
And, you know, that to me shows the awareness of actually down in distance, you know, time in the game. What are we doing? What are we trying to get? Now, I don't know if Jeremy's talking to him in his ear, reminding him of certain things, which I hope he is, because that's what the coach should be doing. But little things like that that are, you know, that don't seem like much, but for those of us who played the position and are watching rookies struggle from week to week, and he may struggle this week against Minnesota. Minnesota's going to come in here. They're going to put up a lot of points. You know that, and I know that. And this Jet defense, I'm sure that, you know, John DeFilippo, their offensive coordinator out there, is looking at this defense, looking at the problems that they had covering shallow crosses.
I mean, Adam Thielen might have 400 yards receiving in his game.
He may. So it's going to be a much different game for him, because I don't think that they'll really ever be totally in control of this game the way they were against Denver and Indianapolis. But again, it's just kind of another growing opportunity for this kid, and hopefully he'll handle it. I think he will. I don't know what the realistic expectations of a win are against this Minnesota team, though.
Boomer and Geo just getting started talking some football this morning. We do want to get into the Mets GM search a little bit later in the show. 877-337-6666. Jerry's up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.